ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Monday night travel on Nightlife.
Can you remember the appeal of top deck travel trips? Those big, beautiful coach trips around Europe on the good old 50-seater red buses. It was the preferred travel choice for a host of young Australians over recent decades. Chances are, if you went on one, there might be a few moments on the bus trips that you probably can't remember at all, or a couple of instances where you prefer you didn't. They could be pretty boozy and roisterous and boisterous old affairs after all. But I'm sure for those who toured the continent this way, a wry smile or two is elicited in the memories of them all. I wonder whether it makes you a bit nostalgic then to hear that tour company Top Deck have announced that they're retiring their large 50-passenger coaches and focusing instead on smaller group experiences. Yes. Well, is this sad or not? To more tell us more, we welcome Anna Fawcett. Anna's the General Manager of Top Deck Travel. Anna, good evening to you. Welcome to Nightlife.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Anna, was that a rite of passage for you growing up?
It was definitely a rite of passage for my my older siblings.
Okay.
I was very fortunate to travel with my mother to Europe quite a bit when I was younger. But my older siblings, who were quite a lot older than me, that was very much like that's what you went
yes,
and did. Went overseas and did a big coach tour.
I can't imagine your mum getting on Top Deck for that matter too. For many Australians, these big bus trips, though often debaucherous, were a rite of passage in their younger years, weren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. There's lots of tales all over the place, and some of them have definitely surfaced since we made our changes. I think none are more notorious than the original double-decker stories themselves, I think.
Mm-hmm. Was there a standard sort of route that the big buses were doing?
Well, look, we had a lot of routes, and we still do, but less so than we did prior. But typically speaking, the routes that you would do were these big multi-country loops is what we called them. So you're usually starting in London or Paris, and you might be hitting, say, on our mega European, you were hitting 49 days, you would hit 19 countries.
49 days, wow.
49 days, it's wild.
49 days on a bus, wow.
With 48 people going to 19 different countries.
I wonder how many marriages were celebrated, and for that matter, I wonder how many were broken up.
Well, I can definitely tell you we've had some engagements and some weddings off the back of it, but I couldn't tell you about the divorce stats, I'm afraid.
Yes, there was so 49 days, 19 countries. So you'd want to do a big loop up into, did you go all the way to Scandi or no?
Now, with the Mega European, I don't think we quite made it to Scandi on the Mega, but we had different Scandi trips as well. Actually, I would actually have to look into the brochure to have a look exactly there, but I can tell you that you pretty much hit all of Europe. Let me quickly have a look at our old brochure.
Did it go over the way, all the way over to Greece? I think it did, actually, didn't it?
100%, yes, absolutely, and you did some Greece sailing as well. So I lied, the Mega did actually go up into Copenhagen, so we don't have that one anymore, but you basically went all over. But the classic loops, it could have been 49 days, 36 days, 28 days, and you had different variations of where you could go. But the Mega was very much that pinnacle trip. I don't think you could say you'd done Europe anymore without hitting every single country along the way, pretty much.
Yeah, that's right. Greece, and then rounded into Italy, of course, wasn't it? Then you did go down into Spain too, as I recall, wasn't it? Yeah,
absolutely. Yep. Yeah, Barcelona for Spain, French Riviera. You hit day trip to Monaco, which on my trip we did as well, which was quite exciting. Overnight ferries down the coast of Croatia, everything like that.
Gee, how did you manage them? Was there one driver the whole? I mean, there couldn't have been one driver. There should have been more, wouldn't there? How did that go?
Pre-COVID, there were different ways of doing it. You would sort of have your sectors. So you would have you know, a different TL would come on and look after the trip in the different sectors. But when you had these big loops like the Mega Europeans, especially post-COVID, you'd have the same TL the whole way and the same driver. And it was just making sure that we followed, you know, working regulations and driving regulations to ensure that people got the brakes they needed.
Yeah, no, they were terribly popular. And I know a lot of people are quite nostalgic about them. But then all good things come to an end. So what happened in the end? Just the market changed, did it? People don't want to do this so much anymore.
Yeah, the market's shifted quite significantly with Gen Z, and it was already shifting before COVID. Obviously, we had a little bit of a pause there. And so now that we've come back from, the travel industry has come back from, you know, those few years of hibernation, the changes have sped up even faster. And what we're seeing with young people is, the large coaches aren't where they're finding that social harmony. It's the small groups,
closer
in age, deeper experiences, and feeling like they're actually, you know, traveling Europe like Europeans. So taking trains and local transport and things like that, rather than one of the quotes actually from the researchers, feeling like they infiltrate a place when they come in these large coaches rather than experiencing it.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure that's probably right. Anna Fawcett's with us, general manager of APAC for Top Deck Travel. They were the ones behind the big 50-seater coaches that travelled Europe, and many of you probably experienced Europe that way. Were they expensive to run or not? Maybe they weren't, were they? As far as the business was concerned.
Look, it's a large overhead cost because we didn't actually own our fleet. We leased our fleet. Yeah. And so if you only had it half full or a quarter full, you're still paying for that and really eroding that margin. Whereas this way we've been able to sort of reallocate those costs into more experiences and immersive, sort of like local food experiences, bucket list sites, things like that.
These days, you're right about the big coach when it arrives, particularly at small places, can overwhelm the village square or whatever, can't it? I mean, and sometimes when, for a bus passenger themselves, they feel this too. So this smaller bus experience that you're talking about is more like what people want these days.
Well, yeah, it's using transport as an enabler rather than defining it. And so if we think about the coach ride from, say, London to Paris, a classic trip, that can take 7, maybe even 9 or 10 hours if you hit traffic.
Yeah.
Whereas jumping on the Eurostar, you've got 2.5 hours, you've got an iconic train experience, and you're right in the city centre, ready to go, having more time and destination.
Mm. Yeah, when you say you travel with your mum who didn't go Top Deck, and I fully get that, but I think you've been to Portugal, haven't you, on a bus tour recently?
Oh, yes, I have. That was actually with our sister brand, Backroads. Hmm. So that's also small group tours, but for the 55-plus demographic, so slightly different. It was fantastic. We did Lisbon to Porto across 10 days, going through the back roads and to little villages and having local experiences.
Yeah. This is the thing. I don't know what it is about buses, Anna, but if you're with a group of passengers, there's a camaraderie about being on a bus, which, people's personalities come out pretty quickly, don't you find?
Yeah, I definitely think that there is there's the opportunity for that on those, on those long journeys or on those coaches. But you also get that through, you know, if you are staying in a shared dorm or if you're sitting around a table at a taverna together, having those experiences in a way that's also in touch with the destination.
What's hot at the moment? I'm just talking about Australia. Everyone seems to want to go to Japan these days. I mean, New Zealand's been perennially popular, but what are the hot destinations at the moment?
I mean, Japan, absolutely always hot. I mean, Portugal's a really big one in both demographics. Mm. The Balkans, both for the youth and in the older market, is just taking off, and same with Scandi.
Okay, when we talk the Balkans, we're talking about, what are we talking about here?
Oh, you know, going down to, say, Montenegro.
I see you go down the coast of Croatia and all of that.
Yeah, so sort of getting into, and they're having a bit of a boom at the moment because it's probably a less travelled destination.
Yeah.
And so you get a lot of people who have travelled a lot both in that younger demographic and the older demographic, and they want something new and a little bit different than just those bucket list sites.
Okay. What's the thing with Japan, do you think, Anna? Is it? I mean, Japan's a wonderful country, not casting shade on it, but it's suddenly become popular. Do you think it is to do strongly with the exchange rate, the fact that you get a lot of good value by going there?
I'm sure that's plays a part in this, but I really think it's just the deep immersion in the culture that you get there. It's just so fundamentally different to what we've got on this side of the world, you know. And you are just having these wonderful experiences. There's great food. Obviously we think about seasonal things like the cherry blossoms. You've got these bullet trains. I think it's just something quite, it can be a little bit otherworldly and quite intoxicating.
Mm. What about bus trips in Asia? Is that a thing or not?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, for Top Deck, we do that, and it's very, very popular at the moment. Japan is, but what we're finding is quite a rise in is in the Philippines.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, a little bit more of an intrepid or slightly more off the beaten track, more rugged destination that people may not feel comfortable with travelling by themselves.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah, interesting. All right. Well, if you've got old photos of yourself, beer in hand on the Top Deck bus, hang on to it because it's an era that may have passed, but not without much fondness, I suspect. Anna Fawcett's been with us, General Manager of APAC, the managers of Top Deck Travel. They are still rolling, but not in the old way. Anna, terrific to have your time. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.